Good morning, it's great to be with you again today. Don't know what your week's been like, but we've been praying for you and we're asking God to really do something special for you this week. Thanks for joining us as we look at God's Word today. Well, as you know, I've been looking at the theme of trusting God, and we've been looking at the life of a man called Moses, and we've been journeying with him from his birth up to where we are today. And you will remember that this was a man that made some big mistakes in his life, or one big mistake in particular, which seemed he thought would completely ruin his destiny. He never thought God could ever use him again. And he runs away in fear and he finds himself in a desert place. And in the desert place, God meets with him and God restores him and God gives him a plan and a purpose for his life. And we're going to see that how God speaks to him today and God meets with him in a very powerful way, in a very extraordinary way. And we also looked last time that actually when we look at our lives, that we are the apple of God's eye and that he will lead us. And that God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. And that's really good news for us. So let's return back to Moses just for a minute. Moses is in this desert place, this barren place, this dry place. And this is the place that God will restore this broken man. We looked at the word, the Hebrew word for desert, and it was midbar. And midbar basically means to speak. It's the root of this word in Hebrew goes back to speak. And this is the place that we might think is quite unlikely, but this is the place where God speaks to Moses in a very powerful way. God met him personally and God prepared him in the desert place so that one day he was able to deliver the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Moses spent 40 years in the desert. Why? Why 40 years? You see, in those 40 years, he had to learn how to lead a whole nation from captivity through a wilderness experience. And it was only because he'd gone through it himself and he'd learned to go through it himself that he was able to lead others through their wilderness experience safely to the other side. In the crisis we find ourselves in today, it could be called a desert place experience. But in it, we too can learn to do things we'd never dreamed we would ever have to. As pastors, we've had to learn to do new things through this pandemic, things we never thought we'd have to do. But we've had to learn to do them. I'm sure there are many things that you're learning or having to learn to do new things through it. We've all had to learn to tolerate inconveniences. We've all had to put up with difficult situations. We've had to learn to accept a set of circumstances that we never imagined would be part of our life. Some may have been forced to give up privileges and the activities that we most hold dear. The desert place can be a place of struggle. It can be a place of hardship. I want you to remember this today, that God is walking with you through your desert place. Remember, God makes promises, and when he makes promises, he keeps promises. Asher talked last week about Jesus being the promise keeper, and his promises always come about. And he's promised us that we're the apple of his eye and that he will lead us. But not only are we the apple of his eye and he will lead us, but he also gives us the power to live through the desert place experience that we're going through right now. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. We live in a culture where we want everything to happen now. We don't want to wait for change. We want things to happen right now. We're always looking for a fast track experiences that don't take so long. I don't know about you, but I don't like queues. If I'm stuck in a queue, I get frustrated. I'm always watching to see if there are other queues nearby, like at an airport or somewhere, that I'm in the quickest queue. I hate being in queues. And if you're with me ever in queues, you will see the frustration that I get. My prayer is, God, give me patience and give it me right now. It's one of the reasons I didn't become a doctor. because I didn't have any patience. You see, the desert place is always a place that takes longer than we expect. Always takes longer than we expect. But I want to encourage you today by saying this. In the desert, we learn that things aren't out of hand at all. We learn in the desert place that they're in God's hands, and this is the place that we learn to trust him. Look at the life of Jesus himself. Jesus went through the worst desert experience ever that anyone has gone through, and he did it for you and me. He was rejected, he suffered the worst that earth and hell could throw at him. And Jesus had to go through desert place experience to learn to trust God, the Father, but also so that he could lead you and I safely through ours, just like Moses had to learn, so that he could lead others. Jesus has gone before us, and he can help us and will help us through ours. He will lead us, he will guide us, he will strengthen us, he will sustain us as we trust in him to do so. You know, no matter how bad our past has been, no matter how bad the present is, I want to tell you that there is a better future ahead of you. That your future and my future is brighter than we can imagine as we trust Jesus and as we walk with him at this time. It doesn't matter how broken we might feel right at this moment. God specializes in mending broken vessels. See, the desert place is where we actually get back on track. We get back on God's track. And on God's track, he builds us, he repairs us, he restores us. For a minute, let's turn back to the life of Moses. God was about to do a remarkable thing and speak to Moses. See, for Moses, this was just an ordinary day in the desert, the hot, barren, dry desert with the sheep. All he was doing day after day, every day, was looking after sheep. For him, this was just an ordinary day. But God was going to do something extraordinary on this ordinary day to get Moses' attention. And this is the way God works. God will do extraordinary things to get our attention when he wants to speak to us. Moses had no clue or hint of what was going to come. And if we pick up the story from Exodus chapter 3, verse 2 to 3, second book in the Old Testament, third chapter, verses 2 to 3. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was, though it was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why, the bush does not burn up. God appeared to Moses in a bush. And the bush didn't burn up. It just kept burning and burning and burning. Moses didn't realise that God was in the bush. He was just curious. He'd not seen this happen before. Yeah, he'd seen bushes and bushfires and bushes explode into flame, but then they'd just burn and the wind would just blow them away. But this one, he kept burning. Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. I want us to note something important here. Moses made a choice to turn away from what he was doing and go towards the bush to see what was happening. And as he did so, God spoke to him. When he turned aside from what he was doing, when he moved towards the bush, towards where God was, when he said, I'm going to go and check this out for myself, God spoke to him. And God says to him, take your sandals off, Moses. This is holy ground. And I've always wondered what the purpose of this was. Why did God ask him to take his sandals off? Because God wanted Moses to separate himself from his past. He wanted to stop what he was doing. He wanted to stop his immediate responsibilities of looking after the sheep. God wanted his undivided attention. God wanted to speak to him right there in that divine given God moment. To listen. After Moses' encounter with God, it resulted in him walking away a changed man. When we encounter God, we walk away a changed man or woman. You see, now something had happened, and he was now ready to place his trust in God. He was now ready to bring the Hebrew nation out of captivity from Egypt, not in his way, but in God's way. We're living in strange days, days we've never experienced before, days we never thought we would. Through this pandemic, we find ourselves in the wilderness experience. It's a wilderness-like experience that we feel uncomfortable with. None of us want to be in it. But it's a Midbar experience. It's a place where Jesus wants to communicate to all of us some of the most important messages of truth we need to hear. I said last time I spoke, we may not want to hear it, but we need to hear it. And this is a time for Christians and non-Christians alike to hear from God, to hear from Jesus. Jesus wants to communicate something into every one of our lives that we need to hear right now. This is a time to listen for his voice, for him to speak. Sometimes God does something altogether extraordinary on ordinary days. It was an ordinary day when this pandemic, this bush burning like stuff, came across our path. And maybe, just maybe, through this, right now, he wants to get our attention. God breaks into our ordinary, everyday life, and he says something like this, I've got something to say to you right now. I spoke to somebody the other day who had been in hospital with COVID-19 and he was very ill and came home. And in my conversations with them, I asked them how they were doing. And they had mixed feelings. They were pleased to be back home with their family, but they also felt guilty because people that they had been in the ward with had died. And you might know somebody today that's passed away with COVID-19. And he had this sense of guilt, and he was a Christian. And he said, well, how come I survived and they didn't? And I heard God say to me, tell him this, that God wants you on this earth because he's got things he wants you to do. And he wants you to introduce people to me. God wants him to introduce people to Jesus. What does God want us to do right now? God wants us to turn aside and separate ourselves from our past. He wants us to stop what we're doing, to stop going in the direction we're suddenly going, and to give him our undivided attention, to listen for his voice. This is a time, if you don't know Jesus, to completely surrender your life to him. Right now, today, right where you are. To make a decision, say, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus. Just as Moses walked away from that burning bush, so you and I will never be the same again. When we encounter Jesus in the Midbar, when we encounter Jesus in this place where he speaks, we'll walk away changed forever. It's a time for us to stop doing things our way. It's the time to do things his way. It's a time to trust him. Let's move into the New Testament again. And in the New Testament, I want us to quickly, very briefly, look at the lives of the disciples. And in the book of Acts, which is the fifth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John and Acts, we read of God getting his disciples' attention. And Jesus has been raised from the dead at this point, and he spent 40 days with his disciples, and he taught and taught them in the state of being come out of the grave in his resurrection state. But then he descended up to heaven, and he'd given them some instructions. And he says to them, right, guys, I want you to wait in Jerusalem now. There's something I want to give you. It's a gift. It's a gift from my Father. It's a gift from me. Something that will change your life forever. I want you to wait. And I want you to be ready to receive something from him. And Jesus said that God's Spirit was going to come upon them in a way that they'd never experienced before. And it was during celebration time. It was during a celebration time in the Jewish calendar that was called Pentecost. And today is Pentecost Sunday. It's a Sunday where, together with millions of Christians all over the world today, and depending on what time frame we live in, it could be yesterday, tomorrow, but the day that we celebrate Pentecost. A day that something wonderful happened for these disciples. So let's read what happened. Acts 2. Verse 2 to 4, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This was just an ordinary day. They were meeting together in one place. But God did something extraordinary to get their attention. The place where they were was filled with this mighty rushing wind. That's the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit comes into that place. And then they see a fire, not a burning bush this time, but a fire, and it breaks into little, what they call tongues, and it rests upon every disciple. If you're looking at a disciple, you can see that this tongue of fire is over them and resting upon them. And they're looking at you, and it's resting on that disciple. It's not a normal everyday experience. We don't have it when we come to church in this way. They received God's Holy Spirit. They received the promise that Jesus said would come their way. They received the power of the Holy Spirit so that they could teach the gospel of Jesus. And as they did so, it spread throughout the whole of the then known world. And you know, the good news is today that through Christians who are filled with God's Spirit and God's power, the same message of Jesus Christ, 2,000 years on, with over 2 billion believers, is still happening. And lives are being changed every day because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the power that changed people's lives, that when people encounter God, they walk away never the same again. In this time today we find ourselves in, God is doing something that we don't fully see. And if we're honest, we don't fully understand. There are probably many questions that we have. We don't understand it. But I believe in this, that God is going to do something supernatural on what for us is just an ordinary day. But it will be an extraordinary thing that happens in an extraordinary day. And the result is this: we, the church, will never be the same again. We as disciples of Jesus will never be the same again. Maybe God might do something today as we celebrate Pentecost. Maybe before the day is out, God might do something that will absolutely amaze us. The Bible also tells us of another day, on an ordinary day when people will be going about their every ordinary day life in the normal way. And God will do something extraordinary. Matthew 24, 37 to 39. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Suddenly, in an ordinary, normal day, Jesus will return back to this earth. He's promised to do that. Remember, what he promises will happen. This will be the most powerful and supernatural event that this world has ever known. Jesus will return back as a mighty warrior, as a king, to take his kingdom. And he will lead his people back to the promised land. You see, the earth is like Egypt. The earth holds us in slavery. And the promised land is heaven. It's heaven for those that have surrendered their lives to Jesus and serve him as their king. So Jesus will return and he will free his people from captivity and he will lead them to the promised land, which is heaven. This pandemic is just one of many things that God has said to be prepared for. He said in his word, in the Bible, it says that when you see these things, these will be signs that the end is coming. The end, what is the end? The end is when Jesus returns. We need to be ready. It's a preparation time. It's a time for us to prepare ourselves for the return of Jesus. He may not come back today. He may not come back this year. He may not come back in 10 years' time, but he is coming. And the question I have is, are you ready for him? If he was to return today, are you ready for him? None of us know what tomorrow will bring. None of us know how long this pandemic will last. We just can't be sure. Jesus wants to speak into our lives in this season of our life. If you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, why not do it today? There is no better time, no better day than today. Do it today. We can help you. We can teach you the next steps in your life. What you can be sure is Jesus has promised to come back for his people, and he will. We live in a world full of uncertainties, but this is a certainty that Jesus will return. Why not connect with us right now? Why not hit the prayer button if you're watching live with us now? Hit the prayer button and one of the pastors will speak to you and talk through you the processes and giving your life to Jesus and just spend time explaining some things to you in a deeper way. You might need to wait a little bit, so be patient, but hit the prayer button now. If you're visiting us from a recorded service and basically it's after the Sunday, you can still connect with us and you can email us through admin@oasischristiancentre.org.uk. Why don't you do it right now? Do it before you do anything else. Email us and say, hi, put your name in. Could you just contact me? I want to know more about Jesus. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. Have a great Pentecost day. And let's pray together that God does something extraordinary on this ordinary day. Thank you so much. God bless.